Yo, 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 check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Boy Master B.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing addition, and rappers are coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight amazing. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow up with it.com. All of your needs, production and mixing, and master and graphics, and shadow design. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows, plenty of content and communities. Do everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we be revived, our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. You keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's an aggressive side, he is UGS with the lights off. Hip hop AD, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, still me, sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangsta, raw. See these rappers on these streets, I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. This is the Murder Master Music Show, episode 617. We got a special guest tonight. This is the son of the legendary Bushwick Bill. This is Javon, a.k.a. Young No. He's here to speak about, you know what I'm saying, the legacy of his father, and also to defend his honor, because recently Willie D was doing an interview with DJ Vlad, and it seemed like every clip that Vlad put out from the interview was a negative portrayal of Bill. And we've known him for many years. I knew him from back in the days when I used to write for Murder Dog. Always been a humble individual, and it was very disappointing to see that and to hear that. And I know his son wants to speak up for his pop, so I'm going to bring him on right now. How you doing, Javon?
I'm doing fine. Just maintaining, keeping everything, just staying focused and keeping everything together and just making sure my dad's legacy lives on forever.
Most definitely, and it will. And I'm sorry for your loss. You know, your dad, he touched many lives around the globe. And that's why I was wondering why Willie couldn't speak on the positive stuff that your dad did over the years. It seemed almost to me like he was bitter. And what are your take thoughts about that whole interview with Vlad?
My taste is just like respect at the end of the day. It's just respect. If we respect human life and respect others and respect what the contribution they've done for hip-hop and respect them as a human being, you wouldn't do nothing to tarnish them or speak bad on them, because it's just like, when it comes to how you're raised, people wouldn't speak in those tenses that they knew about respect. You feel me? I was raised and built on loyalty and respect. My parents, my people come from a third world country. My dad's Jamaican. He comes from Trenchtown, Jamaica. And my whole family and whole tradition is built on respect within my culture as well. So it's just like, that's a heavy thing we rely upon. So when we deal with adults and people in general and people who are sick and older individuals, and we don't talk highly or bad on them. We speak highly of each other. We don't speak on nobody, especially somebody that we've known for most of our whole lives and that did a lot for us in our lives. We don't speak bad on those people because they've done nothing wrong to us.
No. Exactly. Exactly. I can never see your, like, you know, if it was reversed, if it was Will, I couldn't see your father saying anything negative.
My dad wouldn't do that because my dad is not like a media person. Like, it's so rare that my dad do interviews. Most of his interviews are from the 90s. And the most interviews he did recently was because of me. Because I was like, Pop, you should do this when they hit me up, this and that. I feel comfortable. I did interviews with them beforehand. I like the way they handle their interviews. And my pops like the way they carry themselves as well. So he agreed with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But besides
exactly.
that, he doesn't speak.
You know, and, you know, the whole thing, it's also seemed after watching it that Will still seemed to be upset about the tour that your father didn't want to go on, which I don't blame him one bit for not wanting to go on the tour.
The reason my dad didn't want to go to tour, first because of the name, second because of the pay. They were trying to capitalize and really run up this man off his sickness and make money, when the main reason why my dad wanted to do the tour, when he called them beforehand to do a tour, was the F Cancer Tour, which would have had, names could have been discussed and been changed and revolving around, but in general, my dad wants them to do a free, at least a few shows free for him to help him with all his medical business stuff he got going on for his cancer treatments, because it's so serious. And he needed help because he paid a lot of money over the course of time throughout this year trying to survive and just trying to live. So he spent so much money just on trying to survive. So the fact is, my dad is a hardworking man, so he don't want donations. He don't want stuff like that. He's a hardworking man. He'd rather go out on the road and work for it and give people a show they deserve and work for it. But the other band members didn't want to do a free show to help him raise money for his cancer by him working for it. They didn't want to. They want to do a show their way and capitalize and make monies on both their ends to make sure they're straight, when literally he's the one dying.
And that, like, shows you the character of your father too, because here he is, he's dying of cancer in his last days, and he's still wanting to help others going through the same thing. Meanwhile,
yeah,
Willie's
on
the interview saying, "I'm not doing charity." You know,
look,
that's
how that
was disrespectful too.
My dad said, when he got proceeds from those shows he was going to do, he's going to go to each hospital and go to a pancreatic cancer patient himself and help pay those bills himself. Not give it to an organization. Go to the people individually, the people who actually going through it. Not organizations. Just hit them straight up, straight on, and let them pay for those bills and pay for their bills. Because he understands how it is, because he's went to chemo, and they tell him everything fine, insurance covered this. Next, you know, he go up there, when he needs to get the chemo treatment, they tell him he got to pay $3,000-something right in there on the spot, or he can't get the chemo treatment, and he'll die.
Oh.
Like,
and
that's
how
harsh
it is.
And that's how foul it is. So he saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He saw that. He saw how people treat him. He's like, man, that's not right.
I'll put it to you this way. Like I was telling you before the show, my father died 8 months ago of cancer. There was a therapy that they have on the market where they take your cells and they only fight the cancer cells, whereas chemo fights all the cells in your body and destroys your body from within. But in order for my dad to get that new cutting-edge therapy, he'd have to pay $500,000, which he didn't have. So
exactly.
the only way to get it is to go through three rounds of chemotherapy.
Mind you this. It's just like, when it comes to surviving, bro, only the elite will survive. It's like, end of the day, the more I get older, the more I realize money is very detrimental in this lifetime. People value money so much in this lifetime. It's just like, it comes to the point to where if you don't have a certain amount of money, you won't live long. When a certain actor in a business, I forgot his name right now at the top of my head, but he had the same cancer my dad got. He's in stage 4 as well. But he's like a very known, very wealthy like actor and very TV personnel. So then, like, probably in the next few months, he ended up being in remission for his cancer. Because when you have a certain amount of money in this business or in this world in general, it don't matter. Money can buy a lot of things. So especially when you're sick, you got the most cutting-edge technology that regular people cannot afford. That's how the pharmaceutical business eats in general, because supply and demand. If things are hard to reach and hard to access, only a certain amount of people will do so-and-so just to make that money. Insurance companies make that money by having things that are sold at a higher price and hard to keep at the lower middle class or below that class to even access those things.
Yeah, that's real talk. You know,
that's just how the business works.
Yeah, it is a business. You're right. Cancer is a business for sure.
It's a business. It's a high-selling business besides college. That's like the biggest finesse in America is college and cancer. Because if every year there's charitable causes and things going towards funding and studying it, I'm like, this has been going on for 40-plus years. Y'all haven't figured nothing out, and we got all type of new technologies where I could FaceTime somebody underwater overseas.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
It makes no sense how advanced our technology is, but we don't have a cure to cancer. And people who do have the cures instantly die, or something happened to them, some freak accident. It's just like, knowledge is dangerous in this time period. A lot of artists that spoke on knowledge and spoke of higher beings and spoke of being intellectual and spoke of having a broad mindset, they cut their time short because they know their influence is too powerful and they can cause a shift.
Yeah, you're right. 100% right. It's very unfortunate. And not to mention, cancer-causing chemicals are in just about everything. Not just food.
Everything.
I mean,
you know,
everything.
So foul is, once my dad got sick, they gave him a whole list of things not to eat. But when he's alive on a regular daily basis, when other humans or everybody else live their day-to-day life, they don't know those things give those cancers. Like corn syrup and things and fruit snacks and all this stuff, it gives you cancer. They told my daddy couldn't eat so much different stuff that he barely even eat in general. He just drink shakes and stuff like that, or drink sourdough or drink water and this and that, because it's like there's so many things he could not eat that would make his situation worse that people eat on a day-to-day basis that gave him the cancer.
And here you guys, you know what I'm saying, because the whole family goes through it, you know, somebody gets cancer. Here you guys, you go through all that, you just laid your father to rest, and then you see day after day, you know, Vlad cutting these horrible clips about your father. I can't even imagine how that, I would see red, because if someone said something about my dad, go nuts.
The thing is, at first, it's like, I saw those clips, but I didn't, like, take knowledge to them or take heed to them, because I'm just like, it is what it is. People going to do what they want to do. It's the media. I don't care. My dad's impact on this world is so big and so broad that each individual my dad came across and crossed paths with, he's the most humble individual. I watched this man give his last money out of his pocket to people and strangers. I watched him give hats off his head to fans. I watched him give shades off his face to fans. Like, I watched him do so many countless acts of being just showing that he's, like, such a selfless individual and just loving individual. Even towards his last days, when I got to the state that he passed in, the person that was with him last was even saying that things that he had, that I know that he had with him in Houston, he gave away to strangers and, like, just walking down the streets and walking down the streets in Colorado. He was just giving his stuff away. Like, he was just, like, towards his last days, he was just selfless. He was just giving things away. Like, he didn't care for him no more, materialistic things in his world. He never cared for him, but he just really didn't care anymore.
You could tell that he really cared about the fans. He really
truly cared. He truly cared. My dad, I went with him on the road everywhere. We went to every hood in every state. He's like, I'm going to be a ghetto boy and not go to the hood. It's a contradiction.
Yeah. That's true. You know, we had him on here, and one of the homies, Scratch, he recited just a little bit of a song, and your dad picked up and just rapped the whole song. I mean, that's just the type of dude he was. He's just so down to earth.
He's a loving person. He never ever took that identity of fame and showing that I'm too good for people. I'm too good. He never, because where we were raised and everything, how it come from, is like my family. They like, yeah, I think people coming from a third world country, building in America, it's just like they started from scratch here. So it's just like my grandparents worked so hard that my dad barely even saw his parents. He's the youngest of 9 kids. So it's just like he come from a hard working family where everybody doing something. You feel me? And they all helping each other out and all building together. So it's just like his overall career, he finally was the one to make it. He's the youngest out of everybody. So imagine the youngest person to take care of his whole family. That's a lot of pressure.
DJ Ready Red was telling us how, Bill brought him to the house and they took him in, you know, when he didn't really have a place to stay. And that's
my
another thing,
was.
Too. Red's name was brought up by Willie in those interviews, too. Red passed less than a year ago.
It's cold. It's cold, man. It's cold, man.
Yeah. I mean, he was talking about how Red left. It's like, well, Will, you left the group, too.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I mean.
Exactly.
You know,
just be
what
honest,
makes you the supreme ghetto boy, you know?
Exactly. Think of this. When we look at things from sale or album sale context, we gonna talk numbers wise. All right, from the Ghetto Boys, everybody went platinum or gold except for who? With solo albums, everybody went platinum and gold on their solo albums outside of Ghetto Boys album except for which artist?
Willie
D didn't go platinum or gold by himself. He never ever got plaques by himself. The only time he got plaques was with the Ghetto Boys. He never had his own identity. People who never have attention they wanted in their life, they really thirsty for attention in real lifetimes and media because they didn't get that throughout their career. My dad, Scarface, Big Mike, they all went platinum and gold on solo albums. Even somebody who took World Place, got their solo album, and still went gold and platinum. He wasn't even an original Ghetto Boy.
No.
That's the thing about it. It's just like, you will listen to a Bushwick Bill album straight through. You listen to a Scarface album straight through. You will not listen to a Willie D album straight through. You won't. It just won't happen. You listen to him when you listen to him, my dad and Face on the track, because it's just different sounds, it's different voices, it's different moods, it's different tones. But you cannot just listen to his stuff straight through. It's like you got to think, look career wise, look logistic and stat squads. Don't look at the emotional side of things. I look at hardcore facts.
Yeah.
everybody went platinum and gold on their solo albums except for him. So if you know that you're putting out on the back burner your whole career, you're still shining as, with the group as a whole, but solo, nobody cares about you. That's when you feed for attention. You constantly think for attention. And think how big my dad blew up once he lost his eye. And how everybody in the world knew who Bushy Bill was. Even before that, when Grip Another Level came out in 1988, in 1989, Bushy Bill was the biggest thing in the world. But when he lost his eye, he's even more biggest thing in the world because Ever So Clear hit the Billboard Top 200 charts.
Huh. Oh,
so he literally getting
album.
All the attention. And then on top of that, Scarface always been the lead artist of the group because he came to the group as a solo artist. It's just they had to finish the last album, was Grip Under the Level. A lot of people left before the album could come out. So Willie D and Scarface were a replacement to finish the album. They finished the album within 2 weeks.
Oh.
And then the album came out. They were never somebody that grew up together. They were a makeshift group put together. Most people that grew up together, like let's say like the Migos, they're all family members. It's a different type of bond. Their family, their aunties, and this can put a step in and have a pinpoint if they have type of a void with each other or emotional context with each other. But this is a group put together of people who really don't know each other at all. And the only people who had a true bond within the group beforehand were my dad and DJ Ready Red because they're our original ghetto boys. My dad is the original G-A-C-T-O boy from the beginning.
Yeah.
He's been a rap block since 1984.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, when we had your dad on that one time, I hit up Red on Facebook. I'm like, man, you ought to call in. Bill's on the line right now. And it was just awesome to hear them two talk about the good times they had. And that's the way it should be. That's why I was disappointed, too, with Willie saying that. And plus, you think you're running for council. Why not focus on that?
That's
rather
terrible.
Than
that looks
talking
terrible
about a man who just passed away.
And you're running for council in the city that this man literally everybody know who my dad is and everybody respect my dad in the city and you're running for council in the city that respects him. What sense that makes? It's a contradiction within itself. Because if I'm running for council, I'm straight focused on council. I'm straight focused on the allegations. I'm straight focused on the community, things to help the community. If somebody that the whole state and the whole world knew that this worldwide group came up together and really changed a lot of things of Southern hip hop together and they're all as one. Why is one bashing the other when one is not here? Even while my dad was here, there's interviews of him bashing my dad while he was alive. And my dad didn't like those things. When the media responded, he didn't like those things.
Oh. Yeah, we never had him on here saying, is there any problems with you and Willie or you and Scarface? All we did was
no,
talk
it's always
about
love.
The
My
stuff.
Dad worked with them. Like, yeah. The thing is, he'll work with people and handle business with people, but he doesn't have to, like, be with you day to day. Like, I didn't grow up around, like he said, I didn't grow up around Willie and his kids and that because my dad was a busy person. He moved around a lot. Like, of course, being a celebrity and a star, y'all on the road 24/7, of course, the kids of y'all not going to hang together because y'all got two different lives. All of y'all got y'all own different lives and own different things going on. So, of course, any type of situation where the kids are going to know the other kids, it's not going to happen like that because nobody there wasn't that close. So I'm telling you from the jump, it's like I said, when the ghetto boys started, after everything happened, everybody left, all it was my dad and Red left. And then my dad and Red went to the Rhinestone Wrangler and they saw a show that night. And then Jay needed two more artists. And my dad told Jay about Scarface Only D because they was on the stage performing. And then once my dad told him about them, he was like, they'd be perfect for the group. Willie D and Scarface tried out for my dad. My dad put Willie D on. That's what I don't understand. He put him on. Red and my dad were such OGs in the group, no OGs to rap a lot alone, that anything they said or stand for as an artist or anybody they like felt like fit the group, they put Jay put them in the group because they've been around way longer than him. He knew my dad and Red way longer than he knew Scarface and Will. He knew Willie D around for being a boxer on some local stuff, and he knew Face around for being around the block. It was just a common. I heard of them before, but I don't know them like that. That's why when it came to the tense of like my dad seeing them performing this and that, him and Red seeing them perform, like damn, they fit perfect for the group. Willie D got that hardcore, the boxer persona, want to fight all the time persona, and then Scarface got that smooth player, street dude, laid back persona, telling a story, tells of life. And then my dad got that whole realistic. It's what it's like to be in the hood. It's like to be me. It's what it's like to be a person in the environment from coming from poverty. And I'm a product of my environment. He showed the insight of what the environment can do to you. That's why the horror corn, that's what the things he said sounds so obscene and so crazy because it's like that's how somebody feels in their mind in the hood.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely a huge legacy. I know Red produced Will's first entire album.
Yeah, you know, told, like, how could you do that? Somebody who produced your whole first album.
Yeah,
like it's cold. It's just like that's what I'm saying. Like, end of the day, money is a crazy thing. People do a lot of things for money. Even in an interview, because I studied and watched interviews because I don't like speaking on things I don't know. So I watched each interview. And I even watched him say that, oh, I wouldn't even do a free show for St. Jude's. Really? For the sick
That
children,
says a lot about
you
his character right there.
That shows who he is as a person. Money runs his life. It controls him. It's like some people all in this world, all they have is money. That's all they have. And if some people get that, they don't get it. But some people, all they have is money, nothing else. Without it, they are nothing.
Materialism is a mental disorder, man.
It is. It controls people. My dad didn't have everything he deserved about his life and his career. He didn't. But he still made the best out of the situation and made the best out of his life and didn't have those feelings that he felt it within and put those on the people around him. He still showed love to fans. I watched my dad be in pain in days and have problems where his mouth is hurting and something going on, his tooth and this and that going on. But the fan to see him, he'd be happy and joyful and show all the energy of him not being sick. But after that conversation, he's like, man, I'm hurting so much. He said, it's crazy how I can make somebody day while I'm in pain, huh? That's just something he said to me. That's the type of person he was.
And you know, I saw some of the interviews he did before he passed, and he was really concerned with making sure that you guys were straight, you know, you know, getting projects finished and whatnot. And
mm-hmm. I was there over the course of that, over the course of the songs being made, and I was there when he finished the last songs. And that feeling and seeing his face when he finished them last songs, and that song, that the last one he did, was really something that really explained his situation. Because people always called his phone and asked, how you doing, Bill? How you feeling? He's like, I got cancer. How you think I feel? It's just like people always asking the questions, how you feel? Like, man, he got cancer. He's sick. He's in pain every day. My dad's barely sleeping. He's in so much pain, sleeping 2 hours a day, or even less than that, or not even sleeping at all because he's in so much pain. I'm just like, that last song he said was something that really described. It was like, the hook was saying, like, what you want me to say? It was just like, he's like, man, that's how I feel. Like, what you want me to say? Like, what do you want me to say? Like, I'm sick, I'm hurting, I'm in pain. Like, what you want me to say? And it's like, that last song really explained everything that he felt and everything he was going through that moment. And to see that look on his face when he finished that song, got that stuff done, and that emotion knowing that my project is done was the best feeling I could ever ask for in this world. It was just like a moment like that was just like timeless, and I really appreciate that moment and never forget it ever in my life.
No, of course. Were you and your father able to record some songs together?
Yeah, we got some songs out actually on all platforms. Like, we have a song called by Duvob, and we did that when we was in on the road this past winter in Cleveland. We was actually in Columbus, Ohio. We recorded it. And then there's another song we did called Betrayal. And I did that when we was in Texas. When we got to Texas, we did that song. And that was my latest project, too. So both of those songs are out. And also, I have some stuff I'm getting together. I'm going to have a whole project song with my pops.
Well, I tell you what, Javon, I definitely want you, anytime you drop, I want you to please get a hold of me and come back on the show, preview a couple of tracks,
sure.
Chop it up again. You know, and I'm sorry again for your loss, you know, and I'm also sorry again that certain people just, you know, can't do the right thing and pay homage to them instead of throw shade on them. I mean, you know, Bushwick Bill is one of those guys that everybody loves, you know.
Everybody,
and,
that's why people fight for him. That's why people fight for my dad so hard, because they know the type of person he is. He never showed hate. He never was a mean person. He never was like an argumentative person, and people had a bad vibe or something like that, or just treated people like they're scums of the earth. He never did that. He's a loving, caring person. That's all he did his whole life, to show love, even when he didn't feel it himself.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's a shame people can't be more respectful. You know, And like I said, too, you know, Red, too. I mean, why bring up Reddy Red as well?
That's like
now,
somebody
Don
who's been
Henness.
Gone longer than my dad. Like, that's somebody who's been gone. That's my – the crazy thing about it was that I know why he would do something like that, because you got to think, my dad and Red were best friends. Like, my dad loved Red. Red loved my dad. They were true best friends from the beginning. They clicked and bonded over music and knew something about music and did so much production together. The way, look, think of this. Okay, you know the song Balls in My Word, when he samples Scarface?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, that part when having Al Pacino, he wouldn't even say it, that part. And that part wouldn't even skip and had and basically had a melody if it wasn't for my dad. This what happened in the studio. My dad had a 40. He was sipping on a 40-ounce. And then he's walking over to get his 40-ounce. He tripped over the cord while walking over to get the 40-ounce. And then it caused the part to say, all I have is the balls in my word, balls in my word. All I have is, like, it kept, it repeated it. Because, like, he tripped over the cord. It caused the track to repeat itself. And that's how you got that sample for it to go back and forth and repeat him. Because he never did that through the machine. He tripped over the cord and that happened. And that's how you got that song.
Yeah, Reb was telling us that, man. And so is your dad. They were both chopping it up, talking about that. And I was like, wow, this is history right here.
This history, you know, bro. I learned all those things from my dad. It's like, you know these facts because you heard it yourself through my dad's mouth. It's like, no, I ain't lying.
Yeah. Well, just like, too, you know, you would hear, like you were talking about while your dad was here, Will would say things like how he got Bill to write. Well, Red and Box, and I think Johnny C, I think Red was the main one. He was wanting your dad to rap before that, like around the
trust
Making
me,
Trouble time.
Trust me, people, my dad, Ben, like, thing was, he never was to be a rapper. He was literally a famous break dancer and graffiti artist in New York before he even came to Houston. Like, my dad was already famous. He had his own group called the Bushwick Posse and everything. Like, he's already running over New York and everybody knew who he was. But when he got to Texas, They never seen that break dancing that was done in New York because all they had in Texas at the time was East Coast and West Coast music. There was no down south. There was no down south music whatsoever until the Ghetto Boys came out. So the fact was, when my dad came to them clubs looking around for clubs that he can really do hip-hop at, he ended up finding one, and that was around some Wrangler, and he ended up breakdancing and spinning on his head and all this type of stuff in the crowds and getting the crowds lit, and then Jay ended up seeing him, but then so forth and so on. But it's all started with DJ Lonnie Mack being at the club DJing, saying, yo, you should meet Jay, this and that. My dad met Red, too. Next note, they introduced, put two and two together. Within a week, my dad was signed to Rap-A-Lot as a choreographer and breakdancer.
He's
a B-boy.
The foundation of the Ghetto Boys was already set because of that first lineup. You know, they were doing that big tour with the Fat Boys, and, you know, the album sold over 100,000 independently with no major behind
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying. You got to just think speaking facts. If my dad was there from the beginning, how could you make somebody who was there before you? How could you build somebody who was there before you? He's the original Ghetto Boy. He wasn't even there when it was G-A-T-T-O. Like, even beforehand, think of this. Scarface's name wasn't even Scarface then. His name was DJ Action. That's why in the song My Family System, he said, I feel like somebody watching D Act. I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. He literally still got my D Act when My Family System came out.
Yeah.
He wasn't even Scarface. He taught the fans to call him Scarface, and they did, and they gave him that name. It's just like, it's a whole lot of history people don't know. If I mean, like, that's not like, when it comes to history, I know for a fact I know my history because my dad put me on game and even researched myself and had countless encounters where we had these conversations. So just like, I know who the originator is, who started it. And it's like, I just don't feel it's right to somebody to treat their OG like that. Somebody who was there before them, who really started it out with them, started out way before they was even around, even helped them get a part of the group and treat them like they made them.
Yeah, because after Willie left, you know, Bushwick carried on like you were talking about with Big Mike and Face, and that album was huge too.
The album that Face and Willie D did by themselves, Good, Bad, Ugly, never did the same numbers as the album with my dad, Scarface, Willie D, or my dad, Scarface, and Big Mike. It never got to those numbers. It's just like people, my dad was the epitome of the Ghetto Boys and of Rap-A-Lot. Even Jay Prince said himself in a Billboard interview after my dad passed. He said, I had Bushwick Bill speak. He was a spokesperson for Rap-A-Lot. He made the group seem bigger than what they were because he's a highly intellectual person. That's why I had him speak because he knew how to speak and carry himself with words. That's why I had him speak all the time. And if you look at every interview, my dad was speaking for the Ghetto Boys to make them seem deeper than what they were because he graduated high school at 15 years old. And he finished Bible school in Duluth, Minnesota at 17 years old. So when he came to Houston, he was literally just visiting my aunt for a week. And then he's going to head back to New York to leave from New York to India to do missionary work and build irrigation systems overseas. But then in that 1 week of him being there, he ended up getting signed now, a whole life of music and mayhem.
Oh.
He's going to do missionary work. He was never going to be a rapper.
Oh. And, I believe he helped a lot of people throughout his life, you know, and he continued that missionary work in other ways.
That was his purpose. You know? That was his purpose to another way. He wanted to do missionary work and help people. So I'm like, as I tell people, that's why he's such a giving person, because at the end of the day, his whole life purpose was to live for God and get and do his work. And it's crazy because every person my dad met, I'm a full encounter that anytime he met somebody, he told him about the word of God and gave him advice, gave him enlightenment, and gave him something to help them with their life and gave them ideas to help them further themselves. And that's what God's work is. He did that through his music, and he did that through encounters with fans.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and again, of all the people we've spoken throughout the years, and all the people or all the times we've had your dad on the show or Red, always been nothing but love. You know, I never heard anybody say anything bad about your father. All they did was share great memories. You know, and
that's
the way it should be. You know,
that's it. Ain't nothing bad about to say about the man, because he did so much good. He did so much good that if he even did something bad, his good would outweigh it, because he doesn't do that.
Yeah. If you you know what I'm saying, I know your dad didn't want to do a Vlad's interviews.
Yeah, he did not like the way that he portrayed things, the way he asked questions, the way he got to get people to try to turn on each other and start drama. My dad does not, he's not into drama. He doesn't like drama.
No. He didn't, you know what I'm saying? If you had anything you could say to Willie, would you say anything to him? If so, what would it be?
I'd like, God bless, and I wish him peace with him.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's real talk. That's real talk, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they was talking about doing other Ghetto Boy shows. Menace told me that Face ain't with that at all.
He's not. I've talked to Face myself. The thing was, it's like, they wasn't for that. But then what I was told, that like, I feel like what made sense, and what I was told, but then it was just changed around that. If anything, when it comes to Ghetto Boy shows, I will replace my dad part and form my dad part so I can take care of my family and do what he do and get paid the right cuts. He should have got paid and take care of my family. But then, guys, when it comes to Ghetto Boys and everything with Ghetto Boys, Willie D is over all that. He runs his Twitter accounts. He runs all this stuff. Like, he's hands on when it comes to Ghetto Boys, because that's all he got. He doesn't have a solo career. So Ghetto Boys is all he has. So that brand is everything. That's why he protects it so much and do so much about it, because it's all he has. That's destroyed. He has nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, I've done Rap a Lot roundtables, and we did like a you know, Ghetto Boys shows, and I always invited him. You know, he never took part in any of them. It's almost like you know, it just seems like he doesn't want the other members to get the shine, because I noticed
he doesn't.
Big Mike, Johnny C, Box, Red, when he was here. And I don't know if your dad was in talks with them, but I'm pretty sure he would have been down. They all wanted to do a project together, you know. And I think the fans would love that, you know, to be honest. But
it's just like,
you know,
it's just like the bigger, like, the thing is like, over the course of time, you got to think, a lot of people left the group on their own behalf when it came to the Ghetto Boys, and then they left, and then it's like, certain people had like their certain feeling took part in making sure that Ghetto Boy sound like DJ Ray Rick created the Ghetto Boy sound. Prince on seeing them and Jukebox on it from the beginning, they was there. But then towards it came to like enter 1990, they didn't see it going nowhere. So then when that album needs to be finished and that, everybody just left, and they left everybody out to dry. So all that was left was my dad and Red. And it got to that point to where just Red is like, man, I ain't getting the proper everything that's going the way it should be going. He left. Then my dad stuck around and stayed around, because my dad is a very loyal person. Like, he lives and dies by his word. He doesn't, if he say he rock with you, he's gonna rock with you. And that's how he is. So he's loyal. He stayed down and he flourished and everything blew to a whole nother level of things, even though when it came to just him two or three years of my dad rapping, he lost his eye. He like, ain't that crazy? Like, I was just doing fine and everything, this and that. As soon as I started rapping, I lose my eye. He's just like, it's just all that turn as far as the whole of the life of like all this attention and stuff like that and everything. Just like, fame gives you everything you don't need, you feel me? And I honestly can say that the music industry played a lot of toll on my dad's life, on things in his life that would have had more structure if he wasn't famous. Because when you're famous, it's like people don't look at you as like, Like, I look at him as my dad. Like, it's Richard Shaw. I don't see him as Bushwick Bill. So, like, people, everybody see him different than I do because it's like, that's my dad. Yeah. I never seen him as, like, a famous rapper and like that. It's like, that's my father at the end of the day. So, it's just like, seeing that sense of how I view him and how others view him, it's just like, that fame mirage, I can see how back then they could be clouded because you don't, nothing's real then when you're famous. Like, not, like, sometimes you have genuine love that's in that, but when you're famous, everybody loves you because who you are and the brand you have. So it's just like you can't decipher what's real and fake. You constantly battle with yourself because you got people giving you free alcohol, free this, free that, free this, free that. Because when you're famous, everything that you want to kill you is at your accessibility to the highest extent. And he's been famous for 30, 40 years, so he didn't went through everything you can imagine for the past 30, 40 years of being famous. Because fame has changed so much over the course of years that it's just like I watched what fame can do to people. My mom watched what fame can do to people. It's just like, he stayed his pure self, but the fame tarnished a lot of stuff within him that values that he didn't believe, that he knew he wasn't raised by my grandma. He even said it himself. Just like certain morals and compass and things like that, that he was raised and how to move, that my grandma had taught him and raised him. Like, he didn't, he wasn't abiding by a lot throughout his career. Because just like the fame is blind, it blinds you. It takes away who you truly are.
Yeah, it makes you lose a sense of yourself. You know, and everybody has, you know, pitfalls and hard times and stuff, you know what I'm saying? But after someone passes, man, that's not what we remember. We're supposed to remember.
All that's clear. All your play is clear when you pass. Like, even my dad, a few days before my dad passed, we had a conversation. He made amends with me, everything he ever felt bad towards, anything that he felt that he disrespected me by or in general in life. He just made amends with everything and just anything he felt in his heart. He told me how he felt about it. He said, a man is somebody who missed their mistakes and their wrongs. I'm going to show you what a real man is. And he showed me that. He told me that days before he passed and had it. Last time he did really just talk to me, he told me everything he wanted to say. And then a few days later, he passed. And it's just that conversation I will never forget ever in my life because I know that he cared enough to even tell me those things. I could have had that what if feeling. What did my dad feel about me? Did he feel this way about me? Or did he think this, like, I know how he felt about it.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, there's nothing I could say, because like I said, I just went through it 8 months ago myself, losing my pop. But all I can tell you to do, man, is one day at a time, always keep your head up, and you know what I'm saying, your father's memory will always be revered as something positive. Don't let nobody tarnish it or, you know what I'm saying, throw salt on his name. We're always going to uplift him here, and that's real. Yeah, I know you are,
that's real,
of course.
Man. I appreciate you.
Your family.
Of course.
Yo, no doubt.
Of course,
no
man.
Doubt,
I always hold my legacy. Make sure that my dad's name is on and it's respected.
Yeah, most definitely, man. You know, and again, when you get ready to drop any projects, please please get at me. You know, we love to bring you back on.
I'll make sure I lock you in and keep tabs and everything.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And when we do some roundtables, you know, with some old Rap-A-Lot cats, man, maybe you can join in and just chop it up if you want, man. You're always welcome, you know.
For sure, man. I appreciate that.
No doubt, no doubt. You take care of yourself, Javon, man. We'll be in touch real soon, brother.
All